Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past three decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking Tech's electric smokers and AGM Global Vision, maker of an awesome line of thermal hunting scopes and spotters. Feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Welcome to the Campfire, brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Taurus, makers of the Raging Hunter, some of the finest hunting handguns there are, and Mossberg, makers of some absolutely fantastic rifles, shotguns, and Mr. Luke Clayton, we're brought to them by somebody else too, aren't we?
Oh, bunch of good sponsors, Larry, and we'll mention each sponsor that we have in the beginning of each of the coming segments. But I'll tell you something, that some folks and some products, not to make this a commercial, Vineyard Max. Folks, go online to vineyardmax.com. They make some awesome, affordable game feeders, fish feeders, and a product that the Vineyard Max, made out of grape skins and other things, dried grape skins, that bring the deer in coming running. So, yeah, we got some good folks that back us, Larry, and especially here for our campfire talk that you've been doing for so long, some of your sponsors, and we want to thank all those people. And you and I want to talk about turkey season, because turkey season opened down in South Texas, and then real soon, a matter of days, it's going to open up in the north part of the state. And I've had a saying for years that no two turkey hunts I've ever been on unfolded the same way. And turkeys to me, I'm probably the only one that looks at it like this, but they're comical. This funny stuff happens to me on a turkey hunt. I don't know why, but it does, you know?
Well, since you mentioned that, I'll tell you one of my stories. Now, I used to hunt a bunch with old Mossberg 835, the old pump shotgun, yep. And I dearly love it. Still got them. I've got another Mossberg shotgun I'm getting ready to take this year. But years ago, I was hunting with another shotgun. It was a hunt that was sponsored by another company. I was with Michael Waddell, and most folks know who Michael is. And Michael used to be my cameraman years ago with Realtree when I did a lot of things there. We were down on the Encinitas Ranch, and we called up this bird, and I mean, he came in like he was on a string, and Michael's going, shoot, shoot. Well, I flipped the safety forward on this particular shotgun, pulled the trigger, and nothing happened. There wasn't a click. There wasn't anything. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, something's wrong here. Maybe I didn't, you know, shuck in a shell or something like that. And I slowly opened that action, that pump back, and nope. You know, guess what? There's a shell. I thought maybe it's a dud shell. So I slowly brought it out, put another one in. The same thing happened. I pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. This turkey in the process is strutting out in front of us. He's about 15, 20 steps away, totally oblivious of us. There's a decoy out there, and he's paying all kinds of attention to that decoy. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, and so I, again, opened that action, pulled the shell out. And of course, you know, I had a plug in it, so I had a total of three shells in it. Pushed that pump action forward, flipped the safety off again, back and forth a couple of times, thinking, well, maybe it's something stuck, pulled the trigger, and again, nothing happened. I mean, and here I was, this bird is out there strutting out in front of us, and so while Michael is filming, I suddenly stood up, took that shotgun, and I grabbed it by the barrel, and I threw it at that bird and almost hit that bird. And I thought Waddell was going to fall off his little chair that he's on trying to film off. We have laughed about that over the years ever since then, and I will tell you that was the last time that I used that particular shotgun. I, to this day, I still have no idea what happened, but I know that it didn't go boom when it was supposed to go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I can imagine you were sitting there and you're probably somewhat frustrated at that point too.
Oh my God. This turkey was doing everything, and I mean the light was absolutely perfect in terms of, so every time he moved any feather, that would just flashing iridescence.
Yeah. But no boom in the background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Anything can happen on a spring turkey hunt. I'll tell you one that I could recount several. You've heard many of these around the campfire, me talking about some of the stuff that I've got into, but I never will forget our mutual friend, Mark Billette. Mark was, this has been 20, maybe 25 years ago. I don't know, probably. And we were hunting the Joy Ranch. I used to write about the Joy Ranch in Slacker County, and Carrie Joy was on he and his wife on the ranch. Used to hunt down there a lot, and Mark had never hunted turkeys. Well, so we had muzzleloaders, and at the time I had a muzzleloader, a TC back in the day. And it was, shooting bullets, not a muzzle loading shotgun, just a 350 grain bullet or whatever, Sabot or whatever I was shooting back then. And, had all our camping gear set up. I had rice, I had flour, oil, I had some broccoli. I wanted some chicken fried, turkey white meat, and I planned on it cause there was, I had no doubt we were going to kill turkeys. So many turkeys on that ranch back then. Well, we drove down there in a storm. It was a spring storm. There was a cool front come in. It was thundering and raining. And we got our camp set up that evening, and I knew where we were going to go the next morning. It was called the Turkey Blind. It was a blind there with around a feeder, So that's where we were going to hunt. I wanted to make sure Mark saw some turkeys, and I knew we'd see some there because he never seen a wild turkey. So I told him, I said, Mark was using a bow, a compound bow, and I had the muzzleloader. Mm-hmm. My theory was if he don't get him, the turkey gets too far out, I'll shoot him with that muzzleloader, So I told him, you got to be quiet, Mark. You've got to be – these birds, they just – if you blink sometimes, if they're up close, you'll spook them.
Oh, yeah.
I had him programmed to the point that he thought a turkey was something from another planet, so we get all settled in. I've got the muzzle loader. I've got it charged, little number 11 cap on it, and a bullet in it, not a shotgun. And Mark's got his bow. So we're pretty well camouflaged head to toe and behind some brush.
Right.
I start, it's about daylight, and I already heard gobbler sounding off the roost, within 100 yards of us. So I just knew it was going to happen. So I start, whoop, 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 whoop. I do a little calling. They're sounding off, four or five gobblers. And in a matter of 10 minutes, there was two gobblers strutting 25 feet from us, just big old long beards. And I looked over at Mark's eyes were big around, and I wanted him to see how they respond. Times they'll drum and scrape their wing feathers on the ground when they're strutting. And, these birds were doing everything a mature gobbler is supposed to do. And I'm just putting I had a box call. This is the funny part. And I'm just making some little subtle hen yelps and clucks and stuff. And, Larry, I dropped that box call on a rock. There was a rock right below us. It slipped out of my hand, and you can imagine the sound a cedar box call will make hitting the ground. That paddle was flopping, and it made a terrible. And what happened was the gobblers both gobbled and strutted when I dropped it. They did not run. I looked over there at Mark, and his eyes were. I bet he was thinking. And Luke, you said they were all that smart. But that's typical turkey for you when they're hot. But and then so he shot one, and this is so funny, and it's not bragging on accuracy, but I did have that thing sighted in pretty good. He shot a gobbler, and he was flopping around, and the other gobbler started running, and there's a little kind of a pretty steep, almost a mini little mountain there with a road going up it. That other big old gobbler, he started running, trotting away. And I said, "Mark, let's go." And I had that muzzleloader, you know, so I get over, I'm about probably, 65, 70 yards, and this gobbler's kind of slowing down. He's going up this steep road up this hill. I sat down, and I never will forget, I went, whew, like, you know, let all the air out of, and Mark thought I was having a heart attack later. He didn't know. He said, "I didn't know what was going on." I said, "Well, I was clearing my lungs so I could settle down, Mark." Anyway, right. That old gobbler slowly just kind of moseying up it. And I shot him, and very lucky shot. I aimed at his head and shot him in the middle of the turkey, you know. But I never will forget. We got through. We went back to get Mark's turkey. He said, "I thought you said we had to be quiet on these things, Luke." And I said, "Well, normally you do. So that anything can and often does happen on a spring turkey hunt, Larry."
You're right. As you were talking, I was thinking about some other things too. We used to do a bunch of turkey hunts down on the Encinitas Ranch years ago with Realtree, and these guys, Bill Jordan and David Blanton and Michael Waddell later, and got a whole bunch of other guys. You know, they'd come down and hunt, and a lot of times they'd bring down these world champion callers. They were won the world champion calling contest the year prior to. Yep. You know, they'd invite to come down, and these guys go out and they were trying to impress those birds with their calling ability, and they just literally called and they were quiet. Well, those birds would gobble and answer, but they would never come in, you know. And it always tickled me because, you know, they could not call up a bird down there, the Rio Grande birds. The birds were not impressed with their calling ability, but yet they would keep calling. Finally, you know, I said, they said, "What are we doing wrong?" And I says, "Give me your call." And I said, "What are you going to do?" And I says, "I'm going to break it so that you can have to take time in between each time you call to fix it." You know, and I said, "You're calling way too much. Yes. You're over calling those birds." And the other thing was I got tickled because, you know, they wanted to get out early in the morning, locate those birds, and they do all kinds of owl hoots, and there were no owls down there,
right?
But yeah. nothing would gobble, but you could go out there and hit the car horn or pick horn on your pickup and they would gobble all around, you know. And they go, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you wanted to locate where the birds were, didn't you?" That's how we do it down here.
Or so, slam the door of the truck, right?
Or slam the truck door, exactly. Great effect. And then of course they wanted to hunt those birds on the roost. Well, those birds would be roosted in little motts of mesquite trees. Mm-hmm. And so they try to slip in on those birds. Well, those birds are sitting up there on top. They got a bird's eye view, literally, of everything going on around them. So they walk in there fairly, you know, reasonably close, start calling. As soon as those birds pitched off, they went in a different direction because they'd seen them walk in, and, you know, that wasn't natural. So they went the other direction. So, you know, you got to adapt a little bit to the terrain that you hunt in and how people do things. But turkey hunting is fun. It is. I've not killed one now in springtime or having a turkey in a long, long time. I have to go back out to that lease you and I hunted deer on this year out there in West Texas. And I know we've got a few turkeys out there. So I'm going to check with one of the locals and maybe we'll run out there for a day.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. Well, Larry, it's time to put our campfire out again this week. Later in today's show is a blast from the past. Bill Dances. I don't know how many hours I've recorded with Bill, but a bunch. Something, and I think you may be in this recording, I'm not sure, but it was from like 15 years ago. So we'll let that run at the end of today's show. And Larry, thank you so much for being with us, buddy. I really appreciate it.
I do too, and I'll be listening.
Folks, this segment is made possible by Ultramatic Feeders. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com and check out the most awesome line of game feeders in the world. I've been using these things for 15 years, and I've got one that's been in the woods about 10 or 11 years. I forget exactly how long. Check them out, ultramaticfeeders.com. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, anything you need relating to air guns. Go online to Pyramid, PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com.